Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We know Zion Williamson's going to be the number one pick, but after that, it's up in the air. And to help us sort it all out, on Gwen and Chris, joining us from the Washington Post is Jerry Brewster. Jerry, how are you today? Brewer, I'm sorry.
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Sorry about that, Jerry Brewer. Let me make sure I get that right. It's at Jerry Brewer, and he joins us here to talk a little NBA. So Zion goes one. Is it pretty clear that the number two and three slots are taken as well, and then it gets fun, or could we have something happen before that?
I think it is. Certainly number two is set. Ja Morant is going to the Grizzlies. They just traded Mike Conley Jr. yesterday.
Yeah, right.
At number three, it was interesting that the Knicks brought in Kobe Wright of North Carolina for a late workout. Maybe they might consider moving down, or they possibly are just doing their due diligence. I think the right move for them is to take R.J. Barrett number three. And R.J. Barrett at number three is a great value pick. You know, it kind of reminds me of when Carmelo Anthony went number three in the LeBron draft of 2003. He's going to be a really nice player.
Tell us who you're out there in Washington. Tell us who Washington's honing in on. I haven't heard much about their draft plans this year.
Well, Tony, you haven't heard much because they don't have a general manager.
that's kind of important.
Jerry's
right?
Making the pick,
So there it is. You know, I mean, I have kind of told them, you let me make the pick, and if I make the right pick, you sign me for $2 million a year for the next 5 years. And
that's a good idea.
If I get it wrong, I'll just give you the benefit of the doubt in my column. They don't really want to go for that deal.
That's a good trade-off.
I think, you know, I mean, they have a couple of areas of desperate need. Forward, you know, small forward or power forward would be two areas where I think they need to look. With John Wall having a ruptured Achilles tendon, you could go for a point guard, but it would have to be someone who's a combo guard like Kobe White so that you would have a guard that would make sense when Wall came back, you know, assuming they do not trade Bradley Beal. That makes a lot of sense. I think that if Cam Reddish falls to number nine, that's a no-brainer. You take him. If Kobe White falls to number nine, that's a no-brainer. You take him. I think they're in an interesting spot. You know, the two forwards from Gonzaga, Rui Hachimura and Brandon Clark would make an impact for this team. I think they could also go big with Jackson Hayes. So basically, outside of Bradley Beal, that's the only real certainty that this team has right now. And they could go any way as long as they pick a guy who has a high ceiling. I mean, I think this isn't one of these drafts in which they should make a safe pick. They should take someone that they think has the highest potential to become a star, because it's a star that they need to get out of their situation.
Good point.
Jerry Brewer is with us from the Washington Post, getting us set for the NBA draft, which gets started here in about 20 minutes. Jerry, we've obviously looked at the Anthony Davis trade out here from the Laker perspective and broken it down from all angles. And I think most Laker fans are pretty happy to have Anthony Davis and, you know, give up everything they gave up. But Zion will go to the Pelicans, and obviously they picked up a load of other players from the Lakers. What else do you think the Pelicans do now? They already traded down the number four pick, so they obviously just want to get as many guys as they can, it sounds like, to surround Williamson.
Yeah, it does sound like that. They could go a number of ways. I think Reddish, you know, now that they've moved down to eight, is a guy who would be in play. You know, clearly with them valuing the number 17 and 35 pick, I think there's someone kind of in that middle tier that they like, maybe someone unexpected. And then they also, let's not forget, they've got the flexibility where they could package 8-35 or 8-17 to move back, you know, into the top seven of the draft. If they feel like their guy is going to go. So I think it's just flexibility that they're looking for. You've got Zion, and having Brandon Ingram and Lonzo Ball, if those two guys can finally stay healthy, and a really nice role player in Josh Hart already with them, you know, if you get this draft right, you would have, you know, potentially the best young team in the NBA, although I think the Hawks are going to have something to say about that after tonight.
Yeah, no doubt about it. The Hawks and the Pelicans are really starting to shape themselves to be two of the best young teams in the NBA. I want to ask you, Jerry, a little bit about the move we saw go down a couple of days ago, or was it yesterday, with Mike Conley going from the Grizzlies to Utah. I look at that as a really nice move for Utah. That could put them in contention to get real deep in the playoffs. How do you see that deal shaping out?
Yeah, I think when you look at all the instability in the NBA right now is at the top, right?
Yeah.
You don't know what Golden State is going to be like, you know, for the next year and maybe even beyond. You see the Houston Rockets possibly imploding, the Boston Celtics almost certainly imploding. You don't know if Kawhi Leonard is going to go to stay in Toronto or maybe go to the Clippers. There's a lot of different things going on. Milwaukee has to spend a fortune to be able to keep that team together because they have four significant free agents. So I think you look at a team like the Jazz, and you know they've got two all-star caliber players already, and now you're going to add a veteran who can really score the basketball and defend, and Mike Conley Jr., a significant upgrade over Ricky Rubio for a team that really had struggles on the offensive end. And right now in the NBA, you just cannot be a team that just falls apart offensively and compete at the highest level. Even with that issue, they won 50 games and got the number 5 seed this past year. You presumably adding Mike Conley, if he can play, let's say, at least 65 games and be available for the playoffs, the addition of him, you would think, would get them right around 54 to 56 wins. And quite honestly, that might be enough to be the number one seed in the West next year. So they become a serious finals contender, if not a contender to win the entire thing next year.
Wow. Utah Jazz. I might have been a year ahead of myself, Tony, because I kept I kept talking about how great this Utah team was, and then they fell apart in the postseason. But maybe, like Jerry said, maybe next year will be the year for the Jazz. San Diego State had a very athletic player that's going to be in the draft, Jalen McDaniels, and we hear he's probably a second round pick, etc. Both Tony and I have kind of surmised that once you get a little later in the second round, you might almost be better off just not getting picked at all and try to come in as a free agent and find the best situation for yourself. What do you think of a player like that? I mean, he's obviously got a lot of athletic skill. I don't know that he has the size yet to really match up underneath the hoop in the NBA.
Yeah, someone I'm really familiar with because I lived in Seattle when he was growing up. Mm-hmm. And I followed quite a bit of Mountain West basketball, did a big piece on Nevada, saw San Diego State play a couple of times, three times in person this past year. I like him. He's one of these guys who is athletic, but he just kind of fumbles into points because he's athletic. And in the NBA, it's like, well, what is your skill? What are you going to be able to do that's just automatic? You know, you don't think, like, what is his go-to move? You don't ever think of that. But defensively, if he plays with the effort that he can play with, he's got a natural skill set that should stick in the league. And you're right. If he is going to go in the second round, it would behoove him to make sure his agent is communicating with those teams and letting them know, you know, whether, you know, that's the right fit for him. Because you're right, even though it's embarrassing, sometimes being undrafted is better because you can pick and choose your situation. But ultimately, I think that if he keeps his head down and does the work, he is someone that in a year or two could find his way in the NBA. But his way is going to have to be as a defensive specialist, and he's going to have to really learn how to make that corner three-point shot. He's going to be kind of a swing forward, and the reason I like him the most is they play so much small ball now in the NBA that his versatility really comes into play there, because he, you know, as far as his weight right now, he's more of a small forward, but you put him in a different lineup, in a faster lineup, he would make a heck of a small, a power forward coming off the bench and give you great range and versatility and size. But he's got a long way to go offensively before you're going to be comfortable putting him on the floor, especially with second units that are already offensively challenged.
That was a tremendous breakdown, Jerry.
God, that was a better breakdown than we've had anybody in San Diego say about Jalen McDaniels. Thank you, Jerry. That was good. I hope we're all rooting for him, and maybe Kawhi Leonard's success rubs off a little on Jalen McDaniels. Hey, Jerry, thanks for all the great insight on the draft. I'm far more prepared now than I was 15 minutes ago. Have fun tonight, and thanks for joining us out here on the West Coast.
Thank you, Jerry.
All right. Anytime. Thanks, guys.
Good stuff there from Jerry Brewer, Washington Post. On the SDCCU fan hotline, SDCCU has auto loan rates as low as 1.99% APR at the Hohen Summer Sale this weekend. Subject to approval, visit sdccu.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.